from the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Manitoba is full of thriving enterprises, but it's also full of enterprises that ceased to thrive for one reason or another and were abandoned, along with the buildings that housed them. In our continuing series, Abandoned Manitoba, historian Gordon Goldsborough entertains us with tales you've probably never heard before about these fascinating places, and he's here this morning with another. Hello.
Good morning, Lori.
So what wonderful story are you bringing us today?
Well, we're going north this time. We, of course, last week were at a former camp of a military camp, and I teased at the end that we would be going someplace where a soldier worth his salt might feel at home. And in fact, the idea was we were going to a salt works.
A salt works in Manitoba?
A place basically where they manufacture salt.
Did
in the past.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Well,
there were quite a few places apparently at one time where people did it, mostly on sort of on an ad hoc basis. They would make it just for local use. You know, people wanted salt as a seasoning. But it became a commercial enterprise in the early 20th century. There were a number of places where you could go in the province to find salt. Anyone who's from the Winnipegosis area, for example, in northern Manitoba, knows that there's a whole series of springs that come out of the ground where the water coming out of these springs is exceptionally salty. I mean, almost seawater strength.
Uh-huh.
But they're also cold. I know when I visited these sites and stuck in my thermometer, they've been down around like 5 Celsius. So very cold, which means, I suppose, that it's coming from very deep down in the earth. The water's coming up, and as it comes, it passes through the salt deposits that are in the ground, picks up the salt, and then it just pours out onto the surface.
Cold, salty water.
Cold, salty water. And so that was the sort of the incentive. I suppose for generations, people would go there to get salt water. Animals would go there, I suppose, too, if you know they need a little bit of salt in their diet. And in the early 20th century, well, in fact, in the 1930s, a group of investors, some of them were from Winnipeg, some of them were from Swan River. There was even, I think, one from Saskatchewan that decided that they were going to open a commercial salt works. They were going to actually manufacture salt for sale. So they found a spring. It was located north of Mafeking, about 10 kilometers, I think, north of Mafeking. It's about 130 kilometers south of the Paw. Gives you sort of an idea roughly where.
Fairly north.
Fairly far north. It's quite a long drive along Highway number 10. But this site is just off the highway, in fact. You could park your car along the highway and just walk a little ways in. And where what you find are these pools of water. Say it's exceptionally salty. The water sort of flows downstream and eventually ends up in Lake Winnipegosis. And in fact, Lake Winnipegosis itself is quite salty as a result of these springs that flow into it. So anyway, back in the 30s, this group arrived and decided, you know, we're going to set up a salt works. So they built some buildings. I guess to store the salt, to process the salt. They had, an administration building of some kind. But they also had a sort of a well crib. They basically took one of these springs, these saltwater springs, and put a series of wood planks around the edges of it just sort of to shore up the sides. And the idea was then they were going to pump the salt water out of this spring into a sort of a tub. They would heat the water, I guess some kind of boiler apparatus, and that would drive off the water and leave behind the salt. And the idea would be then, lo and behold, there's your product.
Sounds like a fantastic idea. They've got this huge supply of salt, and all they have to do is harvest it.
Precisely. And there was a demand for salt, in fact, but it just unfortunately didn't quite meet consumer expectations. People at the time, this was in the 30s, people expected their salt to be snow white. And even today, you know, when we think of salt, many of us think of, you know, pure white salt. Unfortunately, the iron content, I guess, of this particular salt that was made up on the salt works was just a little too high. The iron would give it sort of a yellowish, orangish color.
Oh, no. Golden.
Golden.
Golden,
yeah, well,
salt.
Well, we hadn't reached the point where we could market things, I guess, like that then. Today, I suppose, that would be very popular to market.
But people just thought, no.
No. They looked at it and went, ooh, there's something wrong with it.
Oh.
And so they just didn't sell well. And in fact, I think also because of the fact that transportation networks were improving, you could bring salt from the East Coast, you know, from Nova Scotia, for example, where they could just pump the seawater right in. You could make it absolutely pure white. it was just cheaper and more, I guess, desirable for the consumer standpoint to get their salt that way. So the McArdle Salt Works up around that area just never really did very well. It operated for a very short period of time, and I think it was pretty much shut down soon after it started. And there's not much left. There's the remains of a building. I guess it was probably a storage building. There's the remains of the crib around the actual salt spring itself, but not a lot else. And in fact, if you didn't know better, you'd probably even know nothing about that history of early salt making in Manitoba.
But I'm just amazed that they would launch this operation. Did they not think people might not like golden salt?
I don't suppose they really thought about it in that way, yeah. I suppose. I mean, I guess they thought it was a good salt source, and it was a very good salt source. They just didn't, I guess, consider sort of the aesthetics of it. And maybe it was just a function of this particular source, because there actually are other springs down the side of Lake Manitoba that were exploited commercially. There was, for example, a salt manufacturing plant at Neepawa for quite a number of years, and they sold salt commercially from there. So that apparently was, you know, good for the consumer. So.
Well, I'm telling you, I think we see before us a golden opportunity. Let's open it back up.
Now in this day of designer food products, I think it could well be a popular thing.
Well, and particularly salts. I've got like 9 different colors of salts in my own cupboard.
Indeed.
Well, an idea that was before its time.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And can you give us a little hint of what's coming up next time?
Well, I think we're going to go from salt to concrete. And I'll leave it at that.
It's getting solider and solider.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.